Let's open our service this morning in prayer. So if you would bow your head and pray with me. Lord, you are so awesome. Perfect. Yet you love us. Lord, I don't understand. We don't deserve it. But yet you do. And we just thank you so much for it, for always extending your love and grace to us. Lord, this morning I pray that you would speak your message through me and that the congregation would hear your words. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have not been this uncomfortable in a long time. I do not have my table, so I'm kind of stretching myself here. kind of like to have my table. You know, you guys ever, if you've ever done public speaking before or whatever, everyone likes to stand behind something and you kind of like to grip right onto something. And now I just don't know what to do with my hands, so I'll just wave them around a lot. And well, I'm a hand talker anyhow, so forgive this. Okay, don't let this distract you. It'll happen, but don't let it distract you. All right, we finished up our series last week, our 5-week series on From This Day Forward. Did you guys enjoy that series? Did you like that series? I was blessed by it. If you missed any of it, it's online. It's on our website. You can just go and click under sermons, and they're all recorded. There's a shameless plug for our website. But yeah, go to it. There's lots of information there, and there's lots of sermons. Everything that's ever been recorded as far as sermons are on there. And I think we get one or two hits a week on sermons. So someone else is listening to them, which is why we do it. So this week we're starting a series, and it's called Sit With Me. Okay, so I'm going to sit down because I don't know what to do with my hands, and I got these fancy chairs. We call this the chicken chair at my house. There's no chickens on it at all, but it's called the chicken chair. I think it's just because it has the birds and the flowers and whatnot on it. But this series is, it's inspired by something that we're going to look at in the book of Acts, and I couldn't get through it in just one, you know what I mean? And I think I can get, it's going to lead us all the way to Easter, which is something that I really love how God's Word is so versatile, and I can look at it and say, oh man, there's something else here, and then there's something else there, and He really speaks to me, and I hope He speaks to you through His Word. And I guarantee you that He does if you're listening. So we're going to be in the chapter, or Acts chapter 8. I'm preaching out of my favorite Bible, so my words might not be your words, but they're God's word. And we'll put them up on the screen too, okay? We're going to put them up on the screen as well. So we're going to start. I want to give you a little bit of context before I get into it. So in the book of Acts, you know, Jesus is dead, right? Jesus has died. He has passed away. And I know you're saying, how's this going to lead to Easter? Just trust me. We'll get there, okay? But Jesus is dead, and the Christians are they're being persecuted. There's this man named Saul. And he's chasing Christians, literally hunting people who profess Christ as the Savior, as the Messiah. And there's this one man, his name is Stephen, and he is caught. And I'm not necessarily sure that Saul caught him, but he was caught, okay? And then he was tried. And in this trial, he was sentenced to death. Stephen was sentenced to death. And the man named Saul was there giving approval over the death of Stephen. But something miraculously happened during Stephen's stoning, or right before his stoning. He began to speak from the Spirit. He was Spirit-filled. Okay, he had the Holy Spirit in him. And he knew what to say because he wasn't saying anything at all. It was the Holy Spirit. And I would tell you that something dramatically discouraging happened in his passing. But one man's reaction is what we're going to look at today. And I just want to read you. We're going to start in verse 4. Now those who were scattered. Now obviously if someone's hunting you and your friends and you watch one of them die, are you going to hang out? Probably not. All right, so they scattered. Right, so now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Just, there's a sermon. went about preaching the word. Now those that were scattered. Okay, they just watched someone die, but what do? They scattered, and they kept professing Christ. They kept preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds, with one accord, paid attention to what has been said by Philip. When they heard him and saw the signs that he did, for the unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them, and who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in the city. There was something that was terrible that happened. Absolutely terrible. Stephen was stoned to death. He was killed for his faith. And from that, the scattering happened. And now people in Samaria are hearing Christ is risen, Christ the Messiah, and unclean spirits are being expelled from them. And there was what in the city? Joy in that city. Joy in that city. Basically, what's going on here is Philip's kind of starting a revival in Samaria, okay, if that makes sense. He's traveling around now, and he's going to places, and he's having fun. There's joy because of the Lord. There's joy. Now, we're going to skip kind of the middle part here. If you're interested in it, it's there, so you can read it. It just doesn't pertain to what we're doing now. So go down to 26. Okay, 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And he rose and he went. Have you ever received specifically ambiguous information from the Lord? I mean, this was so specifically ambiguous, I couldn't even imagine. He says, "Now rise and go to that one road." You're at least given a direction, okay? So right now, Philip has beaten Abram, because when God called Abram, he just said, "Go." Now he kind of gives Philip a direction, but he doesn't say, "Go here because I need you to talk to these people about this specific thing." No, he says, "Go." And what does Philip do? He went. He rose and he went. Now, do you think that was difficult for Philip? You think that was hard? I do, because he was just in the city of Samaria having joy, preaching the word, preaching the gospel. He had joy in that city. And he rose and he went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. He'd come to Jerusalem to worship. A lot of people will look at the word eunuch and think he was emasculated. The word eunuch here is a title. Okay, it's like a treasurer. If you know much about eunuchs, and if you don't, look him up, because it's not anything pertaining to this. I just want you to know that he was not emasculated. He is a treasurer, okay? And then don't wait on an angel. Sorry, I got to go back. Don't wait on an angel to tell you to move, right? Does God always use an angel to say, "Hey, I need you to go do this for me"? No. Not once have I witnessed an angel jump in and say, "Greetings, do not be afraid, Nathan, I need you to do this." It's never happened to me. If it's happened to you, please come talk to me, because I want to hear about it. I don't want to just read that. I want to see your face when you tell me. That hasn't happened to me. What has happened to me is God has spoken to me through His Word. God has spoken to me through my prayers. God has spoken to me through you. Don't wait on something miraculous to come before you move. Okay? Before you are completely obedient. It doesn't take an angel for you to know what you're to do. Sorry, I had to go back. Okay, so now we're on the eunuch. Okay? He was in charge of the treasure. It was Candace's appointee. And he was returning from Jerusalem where he was worshiping. So what can we know about this eunuch? One, he is a high-powered official from the Ethiopian queen. And he was returning from Jerusalem where he was worshiping. Okay? So he was worshiping in Jerusalem. It is my interpretation that he was worshiping Yahweh, or God. Okay? And I'll get into that as to why in a second. Sorry, let's replace. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." Okay, so just get this in your mind. Let's put this into modern day. You are walking down the street here in Mount Gilead, and there are cars coming past you, and you don't really pay much attention to them, and then something in your spirit says, "Go to that car." Are you going to do it? I'm going to hesitate. I'm going to hesitate, and I'm going to say, why? Why should I go to that car? That doesn't seem safe. Now, let me play a bigger picture for you. Let's say it's a limousine coming down, and it's all blinged out, and it's very dark tinted windows, and you can't see in there. Are you more inclined to go? It doesn't change anything. Okay, so I'm going to tell you, basically, this official has probably got a nice chariot. All right? And Philip, being a disciple or a follower of Christ, is probably more mediocre. All right? He's more mediocre in his means. And he's walking in, and in his spirit, the Spirit tells him, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran. He didn't ask why. He didn't even hesitate. Philip ran. I want Philip's faith. I'm jealous of Philip's faith. Just out of complete honesty with you, I don't know how he did it. In today's day and age, if you run up on my truck, you're in trouble. There's a Second Amendment in there. Be careful coming up to the truck, especially running. Okay? But he ran. I love the picture, the illustration of this faith that Philip has. A couple of things he's done here. He's watched his friend get murdered, and he took that and made it a positive. And then he was so obedient to the Lord that he followed, even though he probably didn't want to leave Samaria. I wouldn't have wanted to leave that joy. I wouldn't want to leave in the prime of the preaching. You know, does that make sense? What if I just left right now? That's kind of what it would be like. Just I'm in right in the middle, just trying to get into it. And Philip just has to go, and he leaves. So he runs up to the chariot. And Philip heard him, or I'm sorry, Philip ran to him, and he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" How can I understand what I'm reading unless someone guides me? And this is where we're going with today. And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. He invited Philip to come up and sit with him. You got this picture in your mind where Philip, he's running up to the chariot, and he hears him. And he recognizes immediately, that's Isaiah. That's Isaiah that he's reading. And he says to him, "Do you understand?" I'm just picturing him. "Do you understand what you're reading?" He's like, "No. How could I? Get up here. Come sit with me. No one's ever told me about it. I just read it because I'm supposed to. I don't even know what this means. It's gibberish." You know how many people have ever told me, "I read King James. No idea what it says." So many people have told me that. I'm like, okay, well, why are you reading it? Because we're supposed to read our Bibles. Okay, that's not doing you any good. Not doing you any good at all. If you're just reading it to be reading it, you're not retaining it or understanding or applying, okay? That's just wasting time. Okay, that's just reading because you're supposed to do it. Not reading because you want to do it or because you're going to retain any of the information. He invited him up to come and sit with him. "Come and sit with me. Let's understand it together. Let's understand what God's doing together." So they are. They're just sitting there. They're reclining with one another in a chariot. I'm going to put a rocking chair for Olives. like this. Let's see, Tuesday or Wednesday? Well, probably Wednesday. We were in the great city of Mansfield. We were shopping. And we went to this place, this store. It's Hobby Lobby. Don't have anything against Hobby Lobby. The charity said, do you want to go into Hobby Lobby? And I said, I would rather have burning hot needles shoved into my eye than to go into Hobby Lobby. So I chose to sit inside the vehicle while everyone else went into Hobby Lobby. And I had the car running. And I was just listening to the radio and whatnot. And then I get this ding. And I look down at my little sensor. I'm like, what is going on? And it says, your truck or your Suburban is overheating. Excellent. Excellent. Of course, that's what we need. We need the truck to overheat in the middle of Mansfield. So I turn it off and I go into Hobby Lobby. And I find my wife and I tell her, hey, good news. Truck's overheating. Giant puddles underneath of it. Probably going to need to go over to Kroger, get some water, try to limp this thing home. Okay, so we do. She comes out, and we go over to Kroger. And I walk in. I'm a man on a mission when I go shopping anyhow. So I'm in Kroger. They're in the vehicle. I get the cart, and I'm going down. I go find the gallon jugs of water, right? And I get five, and I throw them in there. And I'm not really paying much attention to anything else. And I'm going to the checkout. And then there is this large African-American male coming at me with a purpose. Okay, he is walking at me with a purpose, and I kind of already start to blade myself. Anyway, he's coming at me on purpose, and I got my cart, and he goes, are you a warrior? I was like, what a weird question, Kroger. My hoodie evidently said warrior for Christ. Okay, I wasn't paying attention to what I had on. He says, are you a warrior? And he's like, your shirt says so. I said, yeah, I am. And he's like, high five me. And I gave him a high five, a big guy. Gave him a high five. He goes, give me a hug. And I was like, All right. So here I am. Here I am, my stature, hugging this guy, right? And giving him a big old hug. And he goes, where you go to church? I said, well, I go to Open Arms. You know, it's in Galleon. And he goes, good church? I said, yeah, I kind of like it. Yeah. And he goes, pastor there, cool? And I was like, yeah, I think so. He goes, well, I'm just saying because I was going to invite you to church. If you lived in this area, there's no point in driving to Galleon. Come to church with me. Come to church with me. I knew this man three minutes. I've already hugged him, and he's invited me to church because of what I had on. His name is Alan. I told him I was the pastor here. He got a good laugh out of that. And then he says, pray for me. I was like, all right, man, I'll see you later. He's like, no, right now. Pray for me. So here we are in Kroger in Mansfield making a scene, praying. I don't even know what I said, but that stuck with me. His name's Alan, and I hope he's listening, because Alan made an impact on me this week. I didn't know Alan from Adam. I walked into Kroger because of something terrible happening in my life at the time and came out blessed. Look at Philip. But let me go back to Alan. Let me just brag on this guy. He didn't know me, and his first words were, are you a warrior? Do you love Christ? You want to come to church with me? It was so easy and so just fluent for him. And I was just like, man, if I had five of you at my church, we would have to get out more chairs. If I had five Allens here, we'd have to sit out more chairs. Because that guy's passion, I'm going to church with him. That guy's enthusiasm, his joy, his love, I'm going to church with him. I want to know what he's got and where he's getting it. I love it. And it's just his witness. I just want to brag on his witness. And he said the same thing to me that this eunuch said to Philip. Come sit with me. Come and sit with me. Let's figure out this world together. Let's figure out our lives together. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. And like a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can desert or describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? So he says, I don't understand, what's the prophet saying? Is he talking about himself being led to a slaughter where his humiliation, his justice was denied? Or is he talking about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were getting along the road, they came to water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? What prevents me from being baptized? And then verse 37, you guys find it? See 36 and see 38. Where is 37? It's a magic trick. I did that. I deleted it out of your all's Bibles. Okay, I don't like when this happens and I don't explain it to people, so let me tell you what happened. 37 is not in your Bibles. It has been intentionally taken out because as they studied the original manuscripts of the book of Acts, it wasn't necessarily found there. Okay? So some Bibles have it. Ours will not. And I know that because we are not in that denomination that has chose to keep it inside their Bibles. Okay? But I'm going to read to you what it says. This is my cheat sheet. Let's see. And Philip said, if you believe with your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So, I don't know why we omitted it. I like that in there, but I guess if it's not true in the canon, then it didn't make it to the Bible. But what is awesome about this is you see Philip, he has no clear direction, no real understanding of what's going on. Next thing you know, he's running up to a chariot. This guy is inviting him into it. He's sitting there and he says, hey, is he talking about me or is he talking about someone else? And he says, no, listen, he's talking about the Messiah. He's talking about Jesus Christ. And he shares the gospel with him. I would tell you that Philip probably knew that eunuch about 3 minutes. If I would have known Alan, probably 2 minutes more, we'd have been getting baptized together. Right? What happened is there's specific, intentional time being spent together. Specific, intentional time. He specifically and intentionally spent time with that eunuch, and his purpose was to further God's will, to further God's purpose. All he wanted to do was be obedient, because Philip, I think, has learned by now, if I'm obedient, God will take care of me. If we are obedient, God will take care of us. I hope and pray he doesn't send you running up to some random car, but I would love to see you run up to somebody in Kroger. He had no idea. It could have been the gunman from down the road. He had no idea. All he knew is he wanted to share Christ with me. And I would challenge us to want that. To want to share Christ and what we have with others. So as they were going along, you know, he says, see, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop. This is something I found interesting. The entire time the chariot has been rolling down the road. They're still continuing down their path. And now they see water. And he says, stop. And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water. Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. And the eunuch saw him no more. And went on his way rejoicing. Went on his way rejoicing. Philip had a specific job that he needed to do. He had a specific chore, but he didn't know it. God didn't reveal that to him. He just said, hey, I need you to go this area for me. And then when he got there, he said, okay, you were faithful with that. Now I need you to do this. Oh, good, you were faithful with that. Now I need you to do this. Awesome. Look, Now we're in the water. I need you to do that. But it all started with knowing that God was in control and that he had a purpose for Philip. Philip could have said no. Philip could have stayed there. And he still could have glorified God there, couldn't he? In Samaria, they were leading people to Christ. They were adding to their number. But he didn't. He was completely faithfully obedient to his calling, to his time. I would tell you that is something that will always get preached. To be completely obedient and faithful to your season, to your calling in that season. Because you never know who you might bump into. You never know who you might see at the grocery store or at the ball game or at school or at work. You just don't know who it is. You don't know where God is leading you. But I can tell you he's asked you to do a couple things. He's asked you to love one another. He's asked you to follow his example. And he's asked you to go tell others about him. I want to show you a video real quick. It'll be a quick one. The video said, who are you going to invite? I want you to stand with me for a moment. I want you to bow your head. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to do your best to clear your mind. Clear your mind of everything. And then if you are so bold, pray this with me. Father, please. Show me who I am to bring to you. And give me the courage to do so. Right now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to not just take that prayer home with you. I'm going to ask you to boldly and intentionally come to the altar or come up here. And there are Sharpies up here, one by each word or each letter. And I want you to write down the name of who you just prayed for on these letters. It can be more than one. It can be one. But I want you to come to the altar, write it down, almost like you're entering in a covenant saying, okay, Lord, I know you put this person on my heart. I'm going to pray for them specifically. I'm going to bring them with me. And I'm not going to say, hey, do you want to come to church? I'm going to say, hey, come sit with me. Come sit with me at church. Because there's something different about, hey, do you want to come to my church, than the personal invite. Would you sit with me? Just come and sit next to me. So I'm going to play a song, or someone's going to play a song for me. And while they are, I would ask you to please just come up here and write down the name of who God laid on your heart. So go ahead. fading, Chris?